From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 393, recorded live Thursday, October 10th, 2013. This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support, online at telerik.com. And by franklins.net, makers of GesturePack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft's Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Travis Pope from nconnected.com about the mobile phone struggle.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And on the phone, I've got Travis Pope from nconnected.com. That's enconnected.com, freelance journalist. You'll also have seen Travis's work on Gotta Be Mobile. How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm pretty good. I wanted to talk to you about phones because you are a known expert on mobile stuff because you love everything mobile. And you've been a hardcore Windows phone person for a long time.
Around 3 years now, since before launch.
Well, that's a long time then. That's the full life of the product. I've always had this kind of, I wouldn't say love-hate relationship. It's more of like an uncomfortable kind of, I keep coming back to relationship where, you know, I got an iPhone when I first started out in smartphones. That was kind of my first smartphone, because there was no Windows phone. And I just kind of went AT&T and upgraded and upgraded and upgraded. And then I've been trying Windows phones consistently and blogging about it. I had a Lumia 800. I had a Samsung. What was the original Samsung called?
It's been a while.
You know what I'm talking about?
Renamed everything to the ATIV. The Samsung Flat? No. Focus?
Focus. That's exactly right. I had a Focus. I had a Nokia 800 and then a 920 and then a 1020 most recently. What Windows phones have you used?
So I've used, let's see, my first one was the HTC HD7. Then after that was the HTC Titan, the Dell Venue Pro, the HTC 8X, and now I've got a Lumia 920. I've had some hands-on time with some of the other ones, like the Lumia 925, but I haven't used them day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. But I understand recently you had kind of a publicized breakup in the sense that your main phone now is an iPhone. Is that true?
Yeah. So it wasn't really a breakup as much as it was just a realization of where Microsoft's mobile efforts stand now versus where they were when I got a Windows phone. And I think, you know, a lot of people who read my publicized breakup with Windows Phone interpreted it as, you know, my relationship with Windows Phone not being so healthy. But actually, it's my decision to do this is more about Microsoft's other efforts actually moving in the great direction to the point where I didn't necessarily need a Windows Phone to get a lot of the great services that they provide.
Well, that's interesting. So you're saying that you're still kind of like, quote unquote, Team Microsoft, or as Jimmy and Jimmy Fallon would say, hashtag Team Microsoft.
Well, that's exactly correct. I think a lot of people interpreted my initial article as, you know, Microsoft's failed at mobile, when actually the problem for Windows Phone, in my opinion, is really that the rest of Microsoft has gotten so much better, right? So back in the day, Microsoft would release a feature that's specific to Windows Phone, like, for example, Zune. Mm-hmm. Would be specific to Windows Phone 7.
Zune Music, the unlimited streaming music service.
Exactly. So you would get a product like that, and you'd have to use a Microsoft. You'd have to use Windows Phone in order to get it. And now that's just not the case. The rest of Microsoft has really embraced mobile platforms in a way that we haven't seen before. Google does this a lot with its products, but until very recently, Microsoft didn't do such a good job of it.
Yeah, you know, I see, I have an iPhone sitting on the desk here, and I have a little folder on it called Office. And in it are native iPhone apps. I've got OneNote. I've got Outlook, which is freaking me out. I've got, it's called OWA, Outlook Web Access, but it's Outlook. It's really amazing. It's actually weird to be using Metro type styling on a iPhone. I've got Link, which is freaking amazing. Like Link, the Link mobile strategy, we should talk about that because if you've ever used it, it's, across every device and you get screen sharing. It's amazing. I've got Skype, I've got SkyDrive, and now I've got Office Mobile. So I've got Tiny Excel and Tiny Word and Tiny PowerPoint on my iPhone, on my iPad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the company has done a really good job of embracing, clearly, the company has become better about embracing other people's mobile platforms. And that's great. That's great for everyone. That's great for Windows Phone users. That's great for Microsoft users. That's great for iPhone users. I've got SkyDrive, you know, like I've got Bing on my iPhone. I've got all of these products that, you know, just 2 years ago with Windows Phone 7.5, you know, I would have never left if those applications weren't available.
Yeah. And so then now, what was it? Was something not working that you would move off? Because I know that people who love Windows Phone are fervent. And this is the thing about phone people. They're just religiously, they love their phone. Like if you argue with an Android person, they will beat you down if you disrespect Android. And, you know, everyone loves their team.
For me, for Windows Phone, I think the tipping point was actually, I spent some time with, the HTC One earlier this summer. And, unlike iPhone and unlike Android, I absolutely hated the entire Android experience. So I went back to my Windows Phone and I kind of missed, it wasn't the application selection that bothered me as much as it was the breadth of the applications that were actually there, right? Windows Phone has done a great job, in my opinion, of getting big name apps. But even when those big name apps appear, sometimes they aren't as feature rich as our iOS and Android counterparts.
What's an example of that?
An example of that, let me see off the top of my head.
Because the Facebook app's pretty good.
The Facebook app has gotten amazing, especially since they've been releasing betas.
The reason I'm pushing back on that a little bit because you made a broad statement there where you said that, you know, sometimes things aren't always feature rich.
Yeah. So for example, I can't remember exactly what application it was. I know GroupMe has a big problem with that. And it's recently been updated.
Features that aren't on the GroupMe app for Windows Phone that are on the iPhone app is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see.
Or the Android app too. I mean, it works both ways. Another big problem for me was just that Windows Phone has a great developer community.
Mm-hmm.
But those applications made specifically for Windows Phone don't usually have iOS and Android counterparts. And part of my job most of the time is to cover iPhone, or excuse me, usually Android for GottaBeMobile.com too. And I just couldn't go back and forth in between different applications.
You know, that is an interesting point. So I've always proposed, you know, and again, I work for Microsoft, although I work in the web on the cloud, so I don't speak for the company. But I've always proposed that people have lots of different devices in their lives and that it's unrealistic to assume that a household is going to be all team Android, or a household is going to be, yes, I've got a Surface and my wife has a Windows Phone and I have a Windows Phone and we use it to talk to our Xbox. You know, the reality is folks are mixed and people have mixed stuff. So I might have a Android tablet that I love and a Windows Phone that I use and a Mac, because that's reality. You're implying that when you have an app that's an exclusive on one platform, and then you move to another and you can't bring your app with you, that hurts.
Exactly. So I adore Weave, made by Celeste Games for Windows Phone. I absolutely adore
Weave.
It
is a great app.
I love everything about it. I love how they've matured that app over the last few years. It is excellent to use.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't a counterpart on Android or iOS. And that Celeste Games, you can import feeds from Feedly, if I remember correctly, but mm-hmm. they're very adamant about Weave being a replacement for Feedly. It's not something that you add on to Feedly, which is a back-end RSS service that replaced Google's, Google Reader. They're very adamant about it being an alternative. And mm-hmm. while that's great, if you have a Windows Phone, should you go anywhere outside of that, that's a big problem.
Yeah. And, you know, Weave is on Windows 8 as well, Windows 8 and 8.1, and works great. But you're right. And this is the thing, though, about mobile phones. Everyone wants that exclusive. I mean, every platform pushes that. Like, initially, there was like Google Now on your Android phone. Now, of course, it's everywhere. And on iPhones, there's always an exclusively on iPhone section of the store. Is that something that consumers are going to like, is going to resonate with them? Like, I can only get this on that phone?
It's always been, I think people who are big fans of Instagram would argue I'm wrong, But I've never felt like that was a big draw for mobile users. I think it was more about the platform first, mm-hmm. or the device first, then the platform,
yeah.
then maybe the application. It only comes, it's only a problem, I think, when big name applications aren't there, which is, you know, the Instagram problem for Windows Phone.
But then when a third party app comes out, and there's several Instagram third party apps, the most prominent of ones being called SixTag, which is arguably as good or better than the Instagram client itself on iPhone. Like, what do you do with that? Like, do you wait for Instagram to buy them? Like, remember the whole Foursquare thing, right? Forth and Mayer was the Foursquare app on Windows Phone for what? Almost 2 years?
Yeah.
And then the Foursquare app came out, and arguably Forth and Mayer is still better. Should they have just bought that guy? I mean, you know, should Instagram just buy the third-party client? Or is it just not okay for the average Joe to go and get a third-party client?
I think that's really tough, a really tough call for a lot of people. So, for example, I use SixTag. I adore, again, Rudy Hewin is one of those guys I adore.
Yeah, he's an amazing developer. Actually, SixTag's so good. When I went to the About box, saw that it was Rudy, and I said, "All right, I'm just going to download everything Rudy's ever done." Because now I'm like a fan. I wish I could like follow developers on a platform. Like, I don't care what the app is; just give me whatever that dev did.
Oh yeah, that guy's amazing. So I use SixTag on my Windows Phone. I actually use his Vine application as well, though its name escapes me for some reason now.
Oh, 6 seconds.
Yeah. And I use this news application. I don't like to use third-party clients. And the reason why I don't is because of Windows Phone. I had some very bad experiences with Twitter applications just suddenly stop working on Windows Phone.
Right, so it's Twitter's kind of soured fault. Isn't that Twitter's fault, though? I mean, Twitter changed their API.
That's exactly my point. Yeah, so that's exactly my point. I think these companies don't need to buy these individual app developers or their apps, but they do need to be more comfortable with opening up
their ecosystem. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, Twitter's a poster child for this, right? We grow on the backs of developers. We enable them to do all these things. And then, you know, we want to rein in that because of profitability concerns and just making a better platform. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's definitely room to try and find a compromise there.
Well, just a year or two ago, there were dozens and dozens of awesome Twitter apps to choose from, and now that's really compressing. And it's clear that Twitter wants to kill all the Twitter apps with their limitation on the number of API keys that they're going to give out because they want to control the experience. They want to be the client. So I think that you're right, that the door is closing on third-party apps in general. I know that there was another Instagram client on Windows Phone who was having trouble where they would upload photos. Instagram would detect that it wasn't uploaded by the Instagram app and then like hide it.
I can't remember the name of that application right now. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. That was actually a week after I joined Instagram for the first time. And I remember a complete Twitter uproar for Windows Phone from Windows Phone users. And, you know, justifiably so, you don't want to build an app for us, but you will delete all of our images from the guys who did. But I think that's just a tough one that we couldn't have seen coming 2 or 3 years ago. But now that it's here, it's really tough to deal with.
Well, and from a user's perspective, it's extremely hard to explain the nuance of that. Like, let's say my wife gets a Windows Phone. It's pretty. It's red. She likes it. She gets, you know, gets an Instagram app, and then suddenly things start disappearing. It feels punitive. Like,
it does.
Do they not like us? Do we not bleed? You know, it's not a Windows Phone thing. It turned out in that case, it was some user agent and they were trying to block spam. But at the moment, you don't care. You just want to use your app.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of these applications, because they're made by independent developers, aren't free. So, you know, you're investing $2 or $3, sometimes as much as 10.
I just want to make sure that it's clear that you just said investing, and I thought you were going to say 99 cents, but then you went for $2 or $3. That is quite the investment.
Well, sometimes, that's the other thing. I find Windows Phone app prices are usually a little bit more than what I see on iOS or Android.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. But you know, you've invested, there's a lot of sweat equity in learning how to use that application.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, when it just goes poof, you're out of $2 or $3, you're out of all the time you spent with the app, and you're left trying to find something else.
Well, and I teased you about investment, but you're right though. One app, sure, it's 99 cents. A couple of hundred apps and a couple of years later, when you've tested a bunch of apps and you've got yourself down to the 40 or 50 that you use on a regular basis, you might be into it for $200 or $300. And when people ask me, why I resist moving to Windows Phone from the iOS ecosystem, is just, I got a couple $100 into this and I got to go and buy a bunch of new apps. That's enough to keep people, you know, at least power users that have put money into it from switching as well.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the problems I've had when switching between all these devices. I had to have invested. I'm not a big app guy, but I've had to have invested about $40, maybe $30 in Windows Phone apps. Probably more because of the Xbox Live games.
Mm-hmm.
And when I initially switched over to the HTC One first, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I missed those applications.
Yep.
And even when I switched, so I've avoided buying applications on iPhone and Android just because I know I'm going to go back to Windows Phone at some point. I don't want to become so invested that I think twice about it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. A lot of people interpreted that piece as, you know, me coming out against Windows Phone saying I'm never going to use it. And it really wasn't that. It was just, you know, sometimes you need the right tool for the right job, which I just stole from Tom Silva in This Old House. But it's true, you know? Like, sometimes you just want something that works.
And you know, you just sometimes want something that works. And this is a really important thing. For some people in their lives, they've got, you might have a Honda Civic for your car, and you might have a Samsung TV, and you might have an Xbox, and another person might have a Mercedes and a PlayStation. We all have these things in our lives. Somebody else rides the bus. I don't know. But that phone and its ecosystem needs to snap into your life, right? So my wife got a Nokia 920. She has a red one, okay? If that device hadn't paired with the Bluetooth in her car, she would have blamed the device, and this is my wife's non-technical. She would have gone to AT&T, this phone is broken. Then they would have given her another one, and she would have come back, and then she would have said, okay, well, this one didn't work anymore. Either my phone is broken, my car is broken, or this Windows thing, that's what she calls it, is broken. So there's an example where one person has this car and that TV and this object in their house and the phone ecosystem just works. And another person says it doesn't work. And they say, oh, that's a deal breaker. No Bluetooth in my car. Give me a phone that has Bluetooth. And they might end up on Android or iOS or Windows Phone or whatever simply because that was the only device they could get to work with that one device that they cared so much about.
And I think those people, normal people, are justified in that. I think the key here, I think, has always been interoperability. And if it just doesn't, you know, I have a bunch of Microsoft products. I have an Xbox 360. I've already pre-ordered an Xbox One. I have a Windows 8 PC. But if these things can't communicate with all the other devices in my life, all those things that I need to get things done, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily an investment anyone should make, even if they aren't a power user, you know?
No, I totally agree. I actually wrote a blog post about how everything is broken and no one is happy. And my complaint was getting my Gmail to work with my calendar on Windows, with my Outlook, and with an Android, you know, tablet, kind of getting them all to work together. And it was just like, this has got to be a solved problem. And even today, right, we're still trying to figure out how to get calendars to work. Like, it's 2013 and I may or may not be able to have my calendar everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think that, I don't think switch to this company's solution is necessarily the right answer to every question all the time.
Mm.
I feel like even with iOS, you know, actually a better example is with Gmail, right? The answer to why doesn't Gmail work on my Windows Phone from someone is usually switch to Outlook.com. You know, that's not an answer.
It's not reasonable. Yeah. I mean, it's the underlying protocol, and then these little protocol wars, the whole calendaring war back and forth between Google and Microsoft, as they like, oh, we're shutting calendaring down, Google says, and Microsoft's like, but we kind of rely on that to work, and oh, we'll turn it back on until December. I mean, how am I supposed to explain that to my wife? You know, how is someone supposed to explain that to their non-technical husband? Your calendar doesn't work today. Why? Well, they're shutting the government down. I mean, what can you possibly tell someone?
I mean, a lot of it's just, you know, political wars coming into the industry and, you know, putting the brakes on this stuff. Like, in Google's defense, licensing Exchange After Sync for Gmail users has to cost them something.
True.
On
true.
The other, yeah, it has to cost them
no,
something.
No, I totally understand. It's a business decision. I think no one ever expects the vocal minority to be as loud as they end up being.
Yeah.
Well, like right now, I launched CallBurner in order to do this call with you, and it says it's going to stop working in December. Okay.
Why?
Skype is changing their desktop API. So CallBurner, the way that we're doing this recording right now, will stop working in December. Now, there's two ways we can freak out about that. We can just generally freak out. We can find out what's underneath that. I'm sure it's poor messaging because surely they have to have some API available after December. Or I'll just start doing my audio directly off the sound card. But from the point of view of someone who's, you know, not totally technical, it's like everything is going to break and destroy the world in December and you'll never be able to record a call again.
Well, that's exactly what that sounded like to me because I have no idea. Yeah.
But it's poor messaging. And actually, speaking of poor messaging, here's a funny thing about me. I have my Windows phone because I'm trying to write this application for it. It's a news audio application. And I go back and forth. I've got these little SIM adapters where I can swap my SIM back and forth between my Windows phone and a Lumia 1020. And I keep using the iPhone as my main phone, but I keep demoing things about the 1020 that I really like. Like, it irritates me that my iPhone doesn't have live tiles. You know what I mean? It's just a bunch of numbers. It tells me nothing. And from a messaging perspective, I'm convinced that Microsoft dropped the ball marketing like the People Hub on freaking Windows Phone. I mean, that's amazing. You can pin people to your home screen and then see their tweets, Facebooks, and LinkedIns.
I think that seems to be a particular problem for not just Windows Phone, but also Windows 8, right? Like, Windows 8 also has a centralized People Hub, too.
That's a good point.
Rarely ever, I can't remember one time they actually shared any information about it in a Windows 8 commercial.
No, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I'm looking at my system right now. I've completely forgotten that I had actually pinned my wife. So I went into the People Hub, found my wife in my contacts, pinned her, and now I can click there and I've got Skype integration, Maps, Facebook, Twitter. I totally forgot about that because it's not in your face.
No, and I feel like that's the problem for Windows Phone, I think, is other than live tiles in the Metro design language, there's a lot of innovation happening. It's just below the surface though, right? Like there are great things there. They're not in your face. And because they're not in your face, maybe it's just not a priority for some of the commercials and outreach that the company does.
I don't know. You know, it's funny. There's this Kids Hub feature where you can, you don't have kids, right?
No, I don't. But I do use Kids Corner for, actually in the car. I usually as an impromptu car mode kind of thing.
Yeah. So what Kids Corner does is it says these are the only apps that you can run when you're in this mode. So from the home screen, you swipe to the side, then you can hand the phone to a kid. And then they'll figure out. But it's buried in settings. No, the only people who will ever use Kids Corner are those who will dig for Kids Corner, which is tragic.
And I mean, it really is. I mean, there's some great ideas. I mean, there are applications that can give you a Kids Corner kind of experience on Android. But it's not as seamless and it's not as easy to use as what Windows Phone is doing. And I feel like that's the problem with Windows Phone a lot. It's not that they don't have the feature set to compete. Right. It's that, you know, sometimes you have to look a little bit under the surface to find it.
And they don't market it. This is the thing. Like, I don't want to see dancing people. I want to see people talking to me about real problems. Like, I want to see a vignette of a person having a problem and then solving it. Like, I'm looking at Paul Thoreau's site right now, and he's talking about driving mode, a new feature coming in Windows Phone Update 3. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. When it detects the Bluetooth in your car, it automatically stops accepting phones and text messages, and it will text the person back. So if my wife calls me while I'm driving, it will text her and say, I'm driving, I'll call you later. That's so brilliant.
That's genius. I mean, and the problem the other problem is we're never going to see, we're probably never going to see that feature advertised in the Windows Phone ad. For the last 6 months, we've only seen specific phone advertisements, nothing feature based. You know, the Lumia 1020 has the world's best camera or something like that. You know,
The camera's cool. I mean, the camera's
awesome.
Let me give you an example. I was in New York. I had my iPhone, but I was using the 1020 to get around New York because of the subway and the Here Transit application. By far the most amazing subway application in existence. Like, I literally have been to New York 3 different times in the last 2 months, and each time I swap my SIM into the Lumia just because Here Transit's that good. Okay? I'm using the phone, and it's a yellow phone. So you got to give them credit for being bright. Now, of course, now that iPhones are bright too, no one's going to be able to see it. But as soon as this guy at this restaurant saw the phone, he's like, is that the new phone that's a camera? So, like, brand recognition, bright red, bright yellow phones. The guy says, that's a phone that's a camera. But now people are using that against them and saying, well, it's a camera. And then they added a phone, which is not true.
Which is not true at all. And going back a little bit earlier to the my public breakup with Windows Phone, like, I wrote that for GottaBeMobile.com. Mm-hmm. And immediately when that came out, you know, there was some pushback about, well, you're a bit unfair to Nokia. And, you know, honestly, looking back on that part of the article, it was just a sentence. But I think I was, you know, Nokia, for a lot of the great things that are happening for Windows Phone mm-hmm. are happening because of Nokia, right? Like, and that was that's another one of my concerns for Windows Phone. You know, now that Microsoft is, isn't running to buy them, you know, that's great. But the Lumia 1020 has a great camera. You know, Nokia has been very great about creating very specific applications for their devices that change just change the equation for Windows Phone users. The problem is that I came from a Windows Phone 8X, and I didn't get a Lumia 920 until about 2 months ago, right? So mm-hmm. I've experienced both sides of it. And while if you have a Lumia, you're great, if you have an HTC 8X, you're not seeing a lot of the great stuff that's going on.
That is interesting, because it seems like these vendors have taken what used to be crapware in the sense of, hey, I'm HP, here's a Windows machine with a bunch of other crap from HP, and they're saying, all right, let's not make it crapware, let's make it value-added ware. And I think Nokia went all out with that, and they said, all right, we can build deep hooks into the operating system where we're going to add features that are specific to Lumia, like headphones and Dolby and the, you know, glance mode and all these different things that are Lumia unique, Lumia specific. They're arguably crapware in the sense that they are things that ship with the OS, but nothing that Lumia ships would be considered crap by any sense of the word. You know what I'm saying? It's vendorware. I don't know. We need a better word for that.
In my opinion, I think that's something that's specific to Windows Phone. You know, like, iOS doesn't allow, fair enough. iOS is a different equation, but, you know, Android, because it's free and open source, you know, companies take it a bit too far, and you end up with some things that, honestly, I've used an HTC One for a month before. Blinkfeed is terrible. Yeah. But, you know, like, Windows Phone is one of those platforms that allows carriers and OEMs to customize that kind of thing, but not go overboard. You know, all that stuff's still uninstallable. You know, it's like Android, where I'm stuck with it from the rest of my life.
Yeah, I my wife's AT&T. She's like, what's this AT&T Radio, AT&T U-verse? Not for us. Click uninstall. But speaking of carrierware and then vendorware, I've got a Galaxy S4 that I'm working on a review of, and this thing has 5 different apps called Messenger, Messages, Messaging, some from Samsung. There's like Samsung Messenger, there's AT&T Messenger, there's the actual Google brand Messenger. Everyone who I have talked to who said that they're Team Android said I should torch the phone and go stock, because there's probably 15 apps from AT&T and another 15 apps from Samsung that have nothing to do with the Android experience that have been installed by default. And it's confusing.
It is. Android. So when I went in to get an HTC One, I originally went in to get a Galaxy S4 for some news coverage on Gotta Be Mobile. And, I felt the phone. I looked at it. I played with the the user interface a little bit, and I went, "This is terrible." I looked around. I looked at the HTC One, and I'm like, "Well, at least if I'm gonna pick an Android device, it's gotta get great hardware. You know, like it feels substantial in the hand." And I feel like Android manages to perfectly replicate the problems I had with Windows Mobile, which was, you know, there are too many fingers in this pie. And none of them are doing a great job. Microsoft arguably was doing a great job, but everyone else who had a stake in this just wasn't performing, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Android is a great operating system-ish. You know, it's not... It's
Be careful. It's you're going to anger the Android fans, and they're going to come for you.
Well, I've already angered the Windows Phone fans, so, you know, I might as well make it equal opportunity. But... Android's great, right? There are things that happen on Android that will never happen on other operating systems. You know, kind of like having two applications labeled music that you can't uninstall.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the thing is, though, about Android is that the weakness is that you have full control, and the strength is that you have full control. You know, you swap out the keyboard if you want to. Is there something that you don't like about it? You swap it out. In a phone like an iPhone or a Windows Phone, if you want to like have the default Maps app change, that's trivial on Android. On iOS, it's not really possible.
No, and those are great. Like those are great things to have. If you're a power user, that's the thing for you. My problem is I'm, though my job dictates that I am a power user, I'm not a power user. I don't like that kind of control. Sometimes I like to be told how to do things and, you know, where to go and where to find it. And I feel like the success of the iPhone, and to a certain extent, Windows Phone, validates that sometimes you need company design driven user interfaces. Sometimes you want to say, you know, stop, you can't do that. That's going to be detrimental to your experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you say you think you might go back. I think that I have decided I'm agnostic. I'm going to move freely from phone to phone. You know, sometimes I'll go to Easter. Sometimes I'll go to, I don't know, Yom Kippur. You know what I mean? I'm going to be non-religious. I'm going to join all of my friends in all of their technology platforms.
For me, I know that I'm probably going to go back. And it's not because iOS isn't great. It is, personally. I actually love iOS 7, and apparently I'm one of the few people who do. But I'm going to go back because... Unlike some people, I am very steeped in Microsoft's complete ecosystem. Like, just like your car analogy, I'm actually that jerk who goes out and buys everything from every company, you know, everything that a specific company makes.
Right.
And I've had a Zune. I had a Zune since 2006.
Like, you used to be like Zune guy. Like, you were all about the Zune.
Yeah. I still adore Zune. I love Xbox Music, but it's, you know, it's like that first love, you know, like, yeah, you've moved on, you know, and you found girls that are prettier, but you're not entirely sure that if she showed up one day, you wouldn't go back.
Yeah, you know, it's about the hardware. It really is. Zune was like the first Surface, you know what I mean? It felt different. It felt right in your hands, but the ecosystem just didn't happen.
And it didn't.
They should have called it Tiny Xbox or something like that.
Well, I guess we got to that point eventually. I mean, it's
all coming together.
Yeah, Microsoft products identify with me because, you know, I actually switched from a Mac to a PC in 2005. Like, I went the opposite way. Whoa. And fell into Zune and everything else. And I love what the company is doing with Metro. You know, like, I adore SkyDrive. I think that Live Tiles are absolutely brilliant. They're not brilliant when they're your only source of notifications. It's a horror show. But, you know, like...
No, Live Tiles are the one thing that is... Once you put together a really, like, here's another idea. Like, I've got ideas, man, for commercials. Like, what about a commercial that just shows different people's home screens? Cause my wife's completely different than mine. And whenever I meet someone who has a Windows phone that hasn't actually configured their home screen, spend 2 minutes, the length of a commercial, showing them how to organize their home screen and pin their family and friends, and they freak out. Their brains explode. I've had this phone for a year. I had no idea.
Yeah, I think that's also one of those things that, you know, Windows Phone is very, I'm not going to say power user heavy because it's not. It's just some of the things aren't obvious unless you're looking for them. You know, like a lot of people don't know to tap and hold anything in order to resize it or something.
It's the new right click. It's not discoverable.
Yeah, and you know, all operating systems do that now, so I kind of, you know, don't want to harp on Windows Phone for it, but Windows Phone is very, Windows Phone uses that gesture very heavily.
Yep, it does.
And, you know, yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for talking to me, and I assume that we can go to Gotta Be Mobile and or N-Connected to learn about your struggle, your personal struggle with mobile phone usage, and whether or not you decide to stick with iPhone or go back and forth.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Travis Pope, for chatting with me today. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.